Proverbs 12. Let's just read these opening verses again. So love instruction, love of knowledge. But he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. A man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie and wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Amen. We'll end our reading of these Proverbs right here today. In your bulletin, I have a little stanza from John Plowman. John Plowman is an alias of C.H. Spurgeon. Mr. Spurgeon adopted that name that he might speak and write words of the common man in everyday common sense. And if you ever find that little book, John Plowman's Talks, I recommend it highly. It just shows you how a man who lived in the city, who ministered to city people, had a sense of the cow, the hay, the grass growing in the field, the common sense type. And he wrote these words: the man who weds a loving wife, whate'er betideth him in life, shall bear up under all. But he that finds an evil mate, no good can come within his gate. His cup is filled with gall. We come today on this Mother's Day to consider the good woman. She is described in Proverbs 12, verse 4, as a virtuous woman. This is the woman who is living in the perfect will of God. She has discerned what is God's will for her, and she is doing the will of God with all her heart and with all her might. She is called virtuous because she is profitable and blessed to her husband. She makes life increase for him. She is not a drain, but an addition. She is not a burden, but a blessing. Now, this is a most complex subject because there are not two wives the same. There are not two wives with the same personalities, the same constitutions, the same gifts, the same talents, the same upbringing, or else every man would want to marry the same woman. So this, by its very nature, is a very complex subject. And then, of course, there are not two husbands the same. And the man you marry will very much make you the kind of wife you are. If you marry a soldier, or marry a restaurant owner, or marry a missionary, it'll make you to be a different kind of wife. And so the complexities of this are great. In marriage, God pours you into a unique mold. A mold that only you can fulfill. The Hebrews had a saying that he is not a man who has not a woman. And after creation, the Lord knew that though man alone may be good, it is not good for man to be alone. And there must be a good reason why that old adage remains, behind every good man is a good woman. I'm sure you've heard that. I would be very surprised if you haven't. You will not live very long, even in our culture today, until you will hear that old saw, behind every good man is a good woman. And there must be a reason why it sticks from generation to generation. Marriage is God's arithmetic. They multiply their joys by sharing them, and lessen their troubles by dividing them. In other words, this is God's blessed arrangement. Now, even Solomon found it very difficult to write on this subject because he resorted to the negative to describe the issues of the virtuous woman. And you'll notice in our text that he turns the matter upside down and he looks at the opposite. And that's what I want to do in our first point today. I want us to look at the opposite to the virtuous woman. She is shameful. It's in very strong language. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Note how strongly this is put. This is like a disease that creeps into the life that can never be shaken by mere medicine. The man who marries a bad wife, no matter how many counselors he sees, is not going to shake this one off so easily. This is a lifelong plague that will bring long-term suffering and untold sorrow to his heart and to his home. Blessed is the man who can shut the doors of his home to the troubles of his life. But miserable is the man that when he shuts the door of his home, he's only shutting himself into the troubles of life. From Proverbs 31, we learn a whole lot about the virtuous woman. We learn of her character, we learn of her industry, we learn of her labor, we learn of the things that she does. And if we turn that upside down, as Solomon does in this text, we will discover what the opposite to the virtuous woman must be like. So what I want to do is to read just a little of Proverbs 31, look at the work of the virtuous woman, flip it over and see what the opposite would be, and just think of what a problem that is. Proverbs 31 and the verse 10. Proverbs 31 and the verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? In other words, not every woman is like this. Not every woman is virtuous. for her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She shall do him good and not evil all the days of life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh. Now what's the opposite to worketh? The opposite to the virtuous woman is the one who shirks work. She hates work. She has no work ethic whatsoever. She has no desire to be industrious. No desire to better herself or her husband. No desire to better the family. There is that innate laziness. The laundry piles up. The dishes pile up. Oh, he can do it when he comes home. And when the husband comes home, he has a double burden laid upon him. Because his wife will not carry the load of responsibility. Another thing that this opposite to the virtuous woman is that she seeks high places and expensive company. The virtuous woman, she is taken up with her home, her family, the farm, the vineyard. She is busy doing those things and her family. But the opposite to that is seeking a social life that is above her social rank, seeking to find company that will promote herself and abide amongst expensive company. That's the one who is not virtuous. Another thing that would be the opposite to the virtuous woman is that she gossips at the expense of her closest friends and family to impress a higher class. She has to do so because she does not work. She does not labor. She does not toil. Therefore, she has to have some way of impressing people. And so she does it with her tongue. She does it with her gossip. The other thing that you would say about this woman, the opposite to the virtuous woman, is that she's at home when her husband is expecting her. And he comes home often and she's not there. She's gone. Or she's always late home when he is expecting her to return. He has to go to the neighbors and ask, "Do you know where my wife is?" He has to phone around. In the modern times, he might even come up with, "I'd buy my wife a cell phone and I'll tell her, keep it on at all times so I know where I might know where to find you." This is the opposite to the virtuous woman. And then another opposite would be is that she cannot manage money. Every cent that the husband earns and entrusts to her, it's gone. It's gone. This virtuous woman, she is toiling and laboring and seeking ways and means to provide and help in providing. But the opposite, she just blows and squanders and has no sense of responsibility in managing money. I heard recently of a young couple seeking to get ahead in life. The young man went off to a foreign country to earn money. I'm not sure of the length of time that he went off, but he kept sending the money home. And when he returned home, discovered that his wife, instead of banking it, saving it, the money was spent. You can understand the problem that that brought in the marriage. That man had labored And his mind was tormented. Tormented. And of course, trust breaks down. And when trust breaks down in families, that's when all kinds of trouble creeps in. You'll notice in Proverbs 31:11 that this is something that's a high priority in this chapter. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. He knows that when my wife's at home, all is well. She will manage. She'll take care. I read Mr. Spurgeon saying one time that he was going off to a country meeting midweek and leaving home, you know, getting ready and dashing out. And he was down the street a little bit when he thought, you know, I shouldn't be doing this. I should go back and tend to my family. And he was torn about serving the Lord and family. And when he came back, opened the door, and he heard his wife praying with his children, he felt, I can go on now. I know all is well. He had that sense of trust. And that trust has there. But this opposite to the virtuous woman, this woman who is as rottenness to the bones of her husband, who is this disease upon her husband. He's afraid to leave home. And he feels that he has to check up on his wife. He will even call periodically just to make sure that she's holding the fort. It's the most difficult, terrible situation for a man to be in. Such a wife may be watching the soaps on television while the children are preparing convenience meals for themselves. She really has abdicated all her responsibility in the home. When the husband comes home to a house that is ill managed, and it's a grief to him, and what can he do? What can he do? Now, you might be surprised to think that such women were to be found in Solomon's day. How did he know about such women? How did he know about them? Well, I tell you, this is the age-old problem of the world. Laziness. Depravity. Running away from responsibility. Unfaithfulness. This is not something that's new in our society. This is the age-old problem of the world. It is the love of self. It's the love of ease. It's the love of pleasure. It's all about me. This is the woman who just thinks of number one. And no wonder Solomon uses such strong language. She maketh ashamed. She maketh ashamed. But to virtuous woman is shameful. This is only point one. I've got some nice things to say here today. Don't despair about this sermon. Don't think that this is all discouragement here today. But if I'm going to be faithful to the way Solomon stated things, I've got to preach this. As he did. I've got to make you face up to the reality of what many men and children live with. Day and night. Day and night. Because they have a wife. Or children have a mother. That are not virtuous. That are not industrious. That do not fulfill the role of mother as God intended. Now, we come then to the second part of this. The essence of A virtuous woman is to be a servant. Now hold it. Don't throw the eggs yet. You're going to say here is one of these old-fashioned Puritans that's going to put women in this, second-rated position. I want you to notice how Solomon puts it here. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. She's the queen. She's the queen. But she puts the crown on his head. And this is her honoring her head. And in doing so, she makes herself queen in the family. Now this servant spirit is really the heart of Christianity. It's what Christianity is all about. Our Lord Jesus came into the world to be a servant. If we call ourselves Christians, if you want to be a Christian mother, you are a Christ one as a mother. You will be a servant. For every believer in the Lord Jesus, a disciple of the Lord Jesus, is to live the life of self-denial. To no longer seek to be served, but to serve one another. That's Christian. That's what Christianity is. Now this woman, this virtuous woman, she wants firstly to serve the Lord. That's her number one. Even before she got married. Even before she left her father's home. Her heart's desire is to serve the Lord. How do I know? Because Proverbs 31 tells us, the very end of the chapter, that this virtuous woman, the fear of the Lord is in her heart. She's the woman that feareth the Lord. And so her prime desire in life, above everything else, is to please her Lord, to honor her head, her Savior, and be a servant of the Lord Jesus. And this rules her every action. This rules her every desire. This rules everything she does in life, whether it's in public, in private, in her family relations. All that she is as a woman is now in service unto the Lord. Then secondly, she will want to serve her husband. She is called here her husband's crown. Queen in his life. Her pride and joy is in honoring him and promoting him. This being a crown is it's an idiom. It's a manner of speech. If someone crowns you, we have sort of an idiom that's derogatory in this term. If someone crowns you, it's sort of like a whack on the head. But this crowning, as right here, is to honor. It's to give due respect and to promote. And this is what this virtuous woman is doing. She is a crown to her husband. When she is seen out with her husband, she brings honor to him. And others say, wow, this is a woman that brings honor to this man. Now, she accepts this from the very principle of creation. This again is the very foundation of this. Man was made first. God made the woman for the man. She was made out of Adam's rib. That's the best rib we have. And out of that rib, God made Eve. And Eve came forth to be that helpmeet for Adam. She compliments the man, that is not good for the man to be alone. And the woman comes to be united to the man, that they together may be one. And she, in her desire to please the Lord, to please her husband, crowns him and promotes him in every way. Now you will see virtuous woman doing this in Proverbs 31. I'm glad for Proverbs 31 because it gives you a little bit of a picture of practical service here in action. You can see the movie rolling here in Proverbs 31 verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She sort of takes the Hippocratic Oath, the oath that medical people take. If I can't do the patient any good, I'll do him no harm. I think all wives should consider that. If I can't do my husband any good, I'm not going to do him any harm. And then in verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. This is a woman that is, because the way she labors and is industrious, and she clothes her husband, she turns him out as a man that is noted. And his wife gets the honor. Perhaps that's where the saying comes from, behind every good man is a good woman. And there she is doing him good. She will also serve her children. She's a servant. She's serving her children. You see, to kids, the name mom is not a noun. It's a verb. You get that? It's not the name of a person. It's an action word. Gimme, get me, come to me. That's what mom means to kids. Mom! You've heard that tone of voice. And whether it is from the crib, or from the playground, or from the front garden, wherever it is, mom! That's not a noun, that's a verb. Come, I mean, I need you! And the mom is a servant of her children. She doesn't feel that way. She doesn't feel that she's in any way brought down the totem pole of standing by serving her husband, her children. This is the language of the world. In every language of the world, mother means help me, come to me, feed me, clothe me. And it is that brings honor to motherhood. The spirit of serving. Serving. Now you'll see this in action again in Proverbs 31 and verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night. Now that's something that the dads are not quite so good at. The dads will help when it's daylight and they're already on their feet. But when they're having a sound sleep, rising in the night is not so easy. But mothers, no complaint. Not a complaint. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. There she's got that servant spirit. And in verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. The Christian mother who has a servant spirit does not have the woman's lib attitude that children are a nuisance. I'm sure you've met that. And it's a sad, sad thing. Now I know that children that are spoiled and are disobedient need to be corrected and they need a lot of work. But when mothers continually refer to their children as little brats that are a nuisance, They have got the wrong idea. And they have lost the blessing. They have lost the joy. They have lost the peace of being a mother. Because children are God's blessing. Children are God's gifts to us. And we are to serve the Lord in raising them. And we are to find our very role in life in raising and training and seeking to establish them in life. And our attitude is that they are God's little blessing. Now, this comes very close to home, and I know the person here today will know exactly what I'm talking about, but I'm going to say it anyway. Children don't always do everything right. And sometimes they can get into electronics that they haven't a clue what they're doing. But there was someone who switched off a fridge or a freezer on their parents, and it wasn't noticed, and all the goods got spoiled. And I got an email, and it wasn't a complaint, and the wording was very, very precious. The wording was, "One of our little blessings owned up to it." And I thought that that was graciously, wonderfully put. And when you can still enjoy life, knowing that that little blessing just cost you, then you certainly have an understanding of the Lord's goodness to you. You'll notice also that this woman serves the poor and needy. Verse 20 of chapter 31. She is a servant. That's her heart. That's her desire. And where possible, because of her industry, because of her labor, because she has been able to, through ingenuity and through her hard work, accrue extra, she can help and provide for others here and there. She's not necessarily going to set up a full-time mission shop or a free food bank. But she's going to do what she can here and there with a heart to serve. She'll find a way to help those in need. This is the essence of the woman who has a virtuous servant heart. I trust today that that's your heart. I trust today that you can say, "Well, I want more, but the Lord has given me a heart to serve." That is the essence of the virtuous woman. I want to move now to the power to be virtuous, and that is to live in the Spirit. And we really come back to what we learned about the good man. The good man is the godly man. The godly man is the man who's living in the Spirit. The good woman is the godly woman. She's got the heart of the Lord. The Lord is a servant. Would you turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1? Philippians chapter 2 and the verse 1. You know that chapter 2 is in Philippians is that chapter where our Lord Jesus left glory, came to the cross. He had the heart of a servant, and he did not come complaining. He came willingly. Willingly, he surrendered all of glory for the cross. Now, you'll notice how the apostle starts this chapter, Philippians 2. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ. Consolation. What is that? It's a ministry of grace. It's the ministry of the grace of Christ. If any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit. Now notice the Spirit there is an uppercase S. It's the Holy Spirit. Here now is life in the Spirit. If any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you. What is that mind? It's the mind of a servant. The mind of Christ. And here is the power to be virtuous. The power to be a disciple, a servant of the Lord Jesus. Now let's go back over some of those things. Let's not rush this. If you go back to verse 3, let nothing be done through vainglory. Vainglory simply means empty pride. Hollow, empty pride. That would be like the opposite to the virtuous woman, wouldn't it? That would be like the woman who's seeking high company. Who's seeking to promote herself through her gossip, through her channels of social standing. She doesn't care about her home responsibilities. She's just full of empty glory. Empty glory. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. This is now the virtuous woman. Lowliness of mind. What does that mean? It means deliberate humility. It's something we have to work at. Deliberate humility. Lowliness of mind. It doesn't come naturally all of the time. Now obviously if we are regenerate, we are born of the Spirit, if you are a Christian, you have now the new nature within, but you still have the flesh, the old nature. And the old nature wants to serve self. It wants to serve greed. It wants to be out for number one. But you have to say no to the flesh. You have to die to the flesh. You have to work at lowliness of mind. Deliberate humility. Now, my friend, are you working at it? You say, but how can I? You're a Christian, aren't you? You've got a new heart, haven't you? You tell me that you're going to heaven? You tell me that you've been born again? You have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. You have a new nature. You have no excuse to live to the flesh. You have new power in Christ Jesus. But if you do not crucify the flesh, if you do not put away the lust of the flesh will rule your life. You'll be no different, worldling. You'll be no different from the proud, vain, glorious person. And so you're exhorted to let this mind be in you. Now that mind took our Lord Jesus to the cross. It brought him from glory to Calvary in full submission. And there our Lord Jesus offered himself up as a sacrifice for our sins. That mind, the mind of the Lord Jesus, will also take you to the cross. It will not take you to the cross to make a sacrifice, but to die to sin. And the cross is what slays the flesh.
sins.
L.E. Maxwell said it, the cross strokes out the eye of self so that it is no longer I or me, but Christ. That's what it is to have this mind, the mind of Christ. And the more that we have the mind of Christ, the more we'll be a servant. And the more that you will be a Christian mother, Christian wife, the more that you will not want to serve yourself, but to serve the Lord, to serve others. This is the great heart of God. God said, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Of course not. And then the Lord says, neither will I forget thee. Speaking to Israel, his children, neither will I forget thee. This is the heart of God. And the heart of God, who created the womb, who has given to mothers their power to love as mothers, he loves us. And he puts his spirit in our hearts. And he changes our natures. And when you know what mothers will do for their children, what sacrifices they will make. I refer to getting up in the night. That's only the beginning, my friend. That's only the beginning. The hours of sickness, the unpleasant things of motherhood, the fears, the worries, the concerns. I remember one time when I got this scar on my head, I ran a quarter of a mile with the blood running out of my head, my shirt was all red, and I came up the farmyard, and my mother came out, and she was literally pulling the hair out of her head when she saw me. That's the fears that a mother lives with. You wonder, does a mother ever let us out of their sight? When you have the Spirit of the living God dwelling in you, then you have a servant spirit. When I think of this virtuous woman and I try to come up with an example of a virtuous woman, I do think of a young woman that I once knew. She was in her 30s. She's now in glory. She used to arise in the cold winter mornings, leave her own home and go to her in-laws' home to light a fire in their home so that when they would come downstairs, there would be some modicum of heat in an old farmhouse. And she did that morning after morning after morning for a long while. Her husband was in a fruit packaging delivery business and she was there and minding her children while she was doing it many hours a day, just helping him out, trying to make that family business work. Then after the birth of her fourth child, she got cancer. And it was after that she came to the Lord. It was a few months after the news that she had cancer that she trusted Christ. And through the months and a couple of years that she battled cancer, she had a servant spirit. An example. It was amazing. The grace of God at work. A virtuous woman. A Christian. crown to her husband. When I was working on this sermon and I told you that I've gone around the circles on this one, I drew up a whole list of, and I wanted to challenge people, if you were missed, what would you be missed for? I drew a whole list of things. But I'm not going to go down that list. The virtuous woman would be missed because she's a servant. She lives to serve. She honors her womanhood, her motherhood, by serving. She enjoys her role and finds strength in doing it from the Lord. And there are times when the body is weary, and even in sickness and in tragedy, that she wonders where she's going to get strength for the next day. But she claims the promise of the Lord, my strength is made known in weakness. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. This is the virtuous woman. But I want to point out she's the gospel woman. She's been to the cross. She has surrendered it all at Calvary. And there, she has become a servant of the Lord Jesus. And she will, for her service, receive rewards. Not even a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. Unseen by others, but seen by the Lord. And yes, caring for those children, unseen by others, the Lord will reward. The Lord will reward. Now the non-Christian, the woman who is not, who has never been to the cross, who has never surrendered to the Lord Jesus, I have bad news. Your works, no matter how hard you labor, will not be rewarded in eternity. You may have the Mother's Day flowers. You may have the cards and the kind words of family. But in eternity, if you have never been to the cross, if you've never become a believer in the Lord Jesus, all your works are temporary. They will be burned up. It is only the Christian woman whose works are eternal and will reap everlasting rewards because they're done in Jesus' name. They're done as unto the Lord, firstly. And what she does unto the Lord is never in vain. I trust that you know the Lord. You've been to the cross. You've come to the feet of Jesus. Oh, today, I praise God for every virtuous mother. And I know that we as husbands and sons and children do not honor our wives and mothers as we should. And you would be missed greatly. But we do thank God for you today. We just praise the Lord for His goodness and the joy of serving Him. The joy of serving Him. And if this sermon brings joy to a mother's heart, my work is worthwhile. That's all I want. That's all I want. That the mothers in this church find joy in serving the Lord. Remember, in the kitchen, behind the sink, you're the Lord's servant. And you're doing it in Jesus' name. For His glory, the Christian home ought to be the greatest place on earth. It should be heaven on earth. And Mother, you're not the head of it. You're the heart of it. May the Lord bless you and use you. Amen. Dear Lord, we thank Thee today that Thou art the Lord, Creator, Keeper, and Rewarder of every deed and every word. We pray today that Thou wilt bless the ladies in our congregation, to encourage them, to strengthen them, to give them joy and gladness in serving Thee. Bless every home, every marriage, every family. May the peace of God rest upon each home. May the power of God be upon every effort to lift up the name of our Lord Jesus. Bless Thy word today. Write it on hearts. And now, Lord, dismiss us with Thy blessing. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with Thy blood-bought people, now and evermore. Amen.